you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. Man, I'm glad that you're here today. I invite you to take your Bible. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one right in front of you there. And turn it to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 is going to be in the New Testament. That's kind of toward the back third of the Bible. If you are using the Bible in the row in front of you, Matthew 9 is going to be on page 813. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning, and I will make sure that you've got one to take with you. That'll be our gift to you. And this morning, we are starting this new series called Game Changer. Would you just say Game Changer with me? Game Changer. Game Changer. I love this little logo that you'll see throughout this semester for this Game Changer series. And I hope that it will connect with you more and more as we talk through our time and try to relate it to our lives. Man, it relates to my lives. I love this little graphic. In this graphic, we've got a chess piece. There's actually two pieces there. Well, one piece and a shadow. Does anybody know what this piece kind of toward the front is called? Does anybody know that? A pawn. Yes, a pawn. It's really interesting. Does anybody know how to play chess? Anybody not know how to play chess? Yeah, let me just tell you the story about when I learned to play chess. I learned to play chess when I was 13 years old in the lobby of a Florida hotel. You're going, wow, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. You go, what were you doing in the lobby of a Florida hotel when you were 13? Well, the Little League baseball team that I played on, we won the Texas State Championship, and so we got to then go from Texas as a team and go to Florida to play in the southern regions. And so my whole crew, my whole baseball team, my best buddies and I that just loved hanging out together, we get to play baseball together, and we go to Florida together, and our coach, I mean, he's extremely intense, extremely passionate, and wants us to have every edge to keep winning, and so his deal was, on game days, when we're not practicing, okay, if we're not playing, then he wants us inside, he wants us off our feet, he doesn't want us to go swimming, because swimming and baseball don't mix. Swimming saps your strength, and so he wants us inside, off our feet, in the air conditioner, if we're not playing or practicing baseball. And so we're sitting here, and in Florida, anybody ever been to Florida? You know what happens every single day in Florida in the afternoon? It rains, and when it rains, it gets humid, and it's humid, and it's hot, and it's in Florida, and you got all these 13-year-old baseball team, and we're in Florida, and we can't really do anything but play baseball, okay, and we're fine with that, but this is 1986, and we didn't have things called cell phones in 1986, we didn't have internet in 1986, we're just kind of hanging out in the hotel, figuring out what are we going to do, so we go walking into our hotel lobby in Florida, all in there as a team together, and there's this chessboard in there with these things called directions that you can't just go, hey, Google, how do you play chess? You have to actually sit there and read. So you got 13 guys that are sitting there in this hotel lobby reading the directions. None of us knew how to play chess, and we're reading the directions because we're bored and because our coach is going to kill us if he sees us going outside messing around or running around or jumping in the swimming pool, because swimming and baseball doesn't mix, and we're there to win, okay? And we need to stay off of our feet and in the air conditioning. At least there's a chessboard here. So, man, we were very competitive, and we got to playing chess with one another, and it just consumed us for this week in Florida. I mean, they had to peel us away to go play the baseball games because we were so into chess. Now, if you're not familiar with the rules of chess, the goal is for your side to maneuver your chess pieces in such a way that you end up taking over the the other person's king. And that's a shadow of the king chess piece behind the pawn. So each chess piece has a different way that it can move. And I'm going to be very general here. So if you're like a chess junkie, give me a little grace, okay? I hadn't played it in a long time, but let's just kind of get a baseline here. So we've got the pawns, and pawns can basically move one or two spaces to begin the chess game straight ahead, okay? So very limited in where they can go. And then you've got bishops. Bishops only can move diagonally, okay? You can move diagonally. You've got what's called the rooks. Rooks can move back and forth or side to side, but they can't move diagonally. And then you've got this next one called the knight. Knights are really interesting, and they always kind of threw me off. Just think of an L or a 7, okay? Not a L7 loser, but like L or a 7. You can kind of hop around in that L or 7 shape. And then you've got queens. Now, queens are really powerful. Much like in marriage, they're very, very powerful, and they can move all over the place, any direction, okay? And they can go as far as they want to go as long as there's not somebody in the middle there. But if they do, boy, that'd just take you out. And so they can go in any direction. And then you've got a king, okay? And the king can move in any direction as well, but only one space at a time, except for this unique move with the rook called castling. You can only do that once, and that's more than you need to know. But I felt like I needed to say it just for a little street cred for my chess players in here to know. I know what castling is, just enough to be dangerous, not enough to win or anything like that. But what's important as we're considering the our life today, I want you just to think about it as an analogy to the game of chess. And a lot of times, the piece of the game that I think you and I may relate to more than any other piece is this pawn. This pawn. Maybe when you think about your life and you think about the season that you're in and you think about where you are, you're going, yes, I identify with the pawn. I kind of feel small and insignificant when I think about the bigger picture of this game of life that I'm playing. Maybe you feel like you're kind of stuck in your little square. And your circumstances, and maybe you don't feel like you've got a whole lot of options. And at best, you wish if you could just go this way, but you can't go that way. Because the rules say you can't go that way, and you can't go that way. All you can do is just gradually go forward. Maybe two spaces if you're starting off with gusto. But you can't, you just, I'm in my little square. I just kind of feel like a pawn. Just kind of feel one space at best, at a time. And maybe you sit and you wonder, man, what would life be like if we could move in any direction like a king? What would life be like if I had all these other pieces around me and all these other pieces were really dialed into helping me win at life and put somebody else in checkmate? Why am I always the one that's feeling like I'm in checkmate? Actually, I don't feel like I'm in checkmate. I just feel like people are coming at me trying to knock me off the game. And I can't really do anything except move one space at a time. But man, if I could be a king, man, that'd be a game changer. If I had those options, that power, that would be a game changer. And in reality, many times we just feel like a pawn, kind of plodding along in life, one directional move at best, at a time, and oftentimes just feeling stuck in our little square on the board game of life. But man, if that pawn could become a king, that'd be a game changer. So think about your life. Let's kind of move from the chess analogy a little bit to just regular old you, where you're living right now, with your circumstances, with your situations, the season of life that you find yourself in today. And just think about this question. What would be a game changer for you? What would be a game changer for you? I mean, if you never had to pay taxes anymore, that'd be a game changer, yes? Yes, that would be a game changer. I mean, if maybe you've just been going to the doctor a lot lately, and it's not been good for a long time, and this next time you go in and run the tests, whatever those tests are, and the test comes back, and your doctor walks in and she says, man, you're a new person. It's like all that stuff we were dealing with, gone. You've got perfect health. And here's what I want you to do. Two things. Exercise less and eat more junk food. That'd be a what? Game changer. Yes. Sign me up for that one. Students, many of you are heading back to school this next week, yes? Yes. And if you live in my house, what you've been doing is doing this meet the teacher thing and kind of getting to know where your schedule and you got the list. And so now we got to go get all the school supplies and you know, changing some schedule because this kind of got messed up. And what if this week when you went back to school, you go in and first period, you have a question that is presented before you that you weren't expecting. And the teacher comes. Maybe it's the principal, because the principal can move more than one step at a time, kind of in any direction, right? I mean, the principal kind of has king or queen qualities there, yes? And so the principal comes in and says, hey, you got to make a decision right now. You can, if you choose, just keep going through your grade in all your classes, just progressing one space at a time toward graduation someday, or you can make a decision right now, new career path choice right now, you can become a YouTube watcher. And if you become a YouTube video watcher right now, you will be guaranteed $1 million a month for the rest of your life. How many of you would sign up for that? Put me back in school, please. Man, that'd be a game changer if you could just watch YouTube. My kids would be a professional immediately. Or what if the Dallas Cowboys all of a sudden just signed Dak, Zeke, Amari Cooper, all to new contracts, and we could trade Jason Garrett for Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick would come in and be able to assume all football responsibility for the Dallas Cowboys. That would be a game changer, yes? Actually, the YouTube career has got more of a chance. I mean, that's just like fantasy land out here with the Cowboys situation. So what about your life? What is it that you think would be a game changer in your life if it were to happen to you? What would move you from feeling like a pawn to becoming a king? And whatever answer that you may be formulating in your mind right now to that game changer question, what really might be a game changer for you could in fact be beyond your wildest dreams. What are you talking about? I'm talking about what we will see as a case study for some guys in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. I want us to look at this story, and I want us to see how Jesus, the King of all kings, changed the game for some guys who really felt like pawns, and one of whom literally was unable by himself to move off of his square of life. Let's read the story together. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. It says, and getting into a boat, he, Jesus, crossed over, and he came to his own city, and behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, a little mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes, the religious leaders, said to themselves, this Jesus, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and what? Walk. Rise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise and pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and he went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid. And they glorified God who had given such authority to man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, what a game changer. What a game changer Jesus is. He speaks words with authority to this paralyzed man. And not only does Jesus heal him from whatever it was that had paralyzed him and caused this guy to stay put like a pawn in his little square on the board of life, but Jesus goes a step further and forgives him of his sins. He wasn't even asking for that. He just got that. Because the game changer Jesus sees beyond what you think will change your game. No taxes. YouTube video watcher. Belichick. He sees beyond. He doesn't discount it. He just sees beyond. It doesn't mean that he misses it. He just sees more than you and I can see when it comes to our game and the square that we're in. He sees you. He knows where you're at. And he's not frustrated at you. He loves you. He's got a word for you. And as the shadow of the king fell over this pawn of a paralyzed man, he then enabled him to move freely about the rest of the game board of life. Now, at this point in our gospel story, Jesus' popularity is increasing day by day. He is teaching like no one has ever taught before. He is doing miracles and healing people, and he has been casting out demons from people. He's been feeding thousands of people with the contents of a fifth grader's lunchbox. I mean, Jesus and word about Jesus is becoming incredibly viral. Everybody knows about him. This is the guy that with a word calmed the winds and the waves. And so these miracles that are all around Jesus's life are allowing people in this Galilee region, kind of the northern region of Israel, to see Jesus not only is a great man, Jesus is doing things that only God can do. Jesus is a game changer. And so in verse 1, when it says he got into a boat and he went back to his own city, it's talking about this little fishing village that Jesus kind of set up camp as his home ministry base on the northeastern side of the Sea of Galilee, the northwestern side of the Sea of Galilee in this little town called Capernaum. Here's some pictures of Capernaum when Allison and I were there. I've shown you some of these before, but let me just reintroduce them to you so you can kind of see what's there. So this is what you see, Capernaum, the town of Jesus, as you're walking into the town. If you go to the next one, you'll see it's right there on the Sea of Galilee. It's a little fishing village within the Capernaum city limits there. That's the ruins and the remains of the synagogue, the temple that Jesus taught in. And so within a stone's throw distance from the Sea of Galilee, you'll see this statue of Peter, because Peter lived in Capernaum. And this is the house that it's believed that Peter lived in right here. I've showed you this before. So this that we're reading here happened, we believe, at this house. And if you go there, you can see that there's a structure built over it. Do you see those people walking up that those stairs? If you walk up over that platform and you stand right over it, this is what you will see. You can actually look down through that glass and see the floor plan of where Peter lived and Peter's family lived, and where it's believed that Jesus lived while he was in Capernaum, while he was in Galilee. And right there, it's very likely where this story happened. It would be as if you're standing on the roof looking down. And Mark and Luke's Gospels record this same story, and they've got a little more detail in it. It says, the crowds were so big when Jesus was teaching at that house that they took their friend on the mat up to the roof and just made a hole in it and lowered him right in front of Jesus. So you are standing and looking. I was standing and looking in the same approximate space where this happened. And I saw it with my own eyes. And I'm thinking, wow, now Peter's got an insurance roof claim that he's got to make. Man, a game changer once again. Now, Jesus changed this man's life. He changed this man's eternity because of what he said and what he did for this man in this place. And I stood there and looked at it with my own eyes. I'm telling you, it was a game-changing moment when Jesus demonstrated such authority. N.T. Wright talks about this authority that Matthew writes about here in verses 6 and verses 8 and in this text that we're looking at today. And he notes, you just can't miss the authority that is just oozing out of Jesus. It's such game-changing authority that Jesus demonstrates. Powerful, powerful, powerful moments. Because Jesus is doing what normally only God can do. To put away sins, to change a person's life from the inside out, to free them from whatever it is that's gripping them. So tightly that they can't move forward. And see, at the heart of this game-changing story is Jesus' claim to forgive sins. Or as the Jews would say, to put them away. To send them away. Look with me here in verse 2. Jesus says, take heart, my son, your sins are what? They're forgiven. The word forgive literally means to send away. Sending all of one's sins into the far beyond where they will be forgotten forever. One article that I read as I was studying for this message talked about this word forgive and the meaning behind the word forgive. And they talked about an example of when missionaries were in northern Alaska and they were meeting the Eskimo people there. The first time that these Eskimo villagers ever had an opportunity to start hearing about Jesus and hearing about this good news of the gospel and what Jesus did when he came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, died on a cross as a sacrifice for our sin that separates human beings from holy God, and how God desires to forgive our sin because of Jesus' sacrifice and then live in us by his Holy Spirit that we might rise and walk in newness of life. And so they did not have in the Eskimo language a word for forgive. It just didn't exist. It was a different language, a different culture. And so what these brilliant missionaries did is they just kept eating food with them, and they just kept listening to them, and they kept talking with them, and they kept trying to understand their culture and their way of life. And as they did that over a long period of time, they became aware of a word in the Eskimo language that literally means not being able to think about it anymore. Not being able to think about it anymore. And they were like, that's what forgive means. To send it away, far, far away, and forget it. And so as these missionaries to the Eskimo people in northern Alaska are translating the Bible into this new language, everywhere it talked about forgiveness, they used this word, not able to think about it anymore. Not able to think about it anymore. Not able to think about it anymore. Because God's promise to repentant sinners in a place like Jeremiah 31, 34 says this. God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will what? Remember their sin. How much? No more. No more. What does that mean for my life? What does that mean for your life? It means this, that when a person makes a decision to put his or her faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, to rescue them from the sin that separates us from holy God, the sin that destroys our lives. When we push all of our life in on what Jesus did at the cross to rescue us from sin, death, Satan, and hell. When you do that, when a person does that, and that person asks Jesus to forgive him, forgive her of all of his or her sin, it means what Jesus literally does is all their sin then is forgotten. And he doesn't think about it anymore. Because it's been dealt with. You know what that is? That's a game changer. That's a game changer. And yet, do you know what happens in our lives so often? Although God desires and does forgive us of our sin, when we put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and God does forget our sin, he remembers it no more. He doesn't think about it anymore. Oftentimes, we're the ones who keep remembering it. What Jesus has paid for. When Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, part of what was finished was remembering our sin. And what happens is, he forgives and forgets so that you and I can rise and walk. And what the enemy, also known as Satan, does is he whispers lies and says, you don't really believe that, do you? How could you? I mean, just look what you've done. And we move from the shadow of the king back to being paralyzed in our soul like a pawn. Do you know what Satan literally means? Your accuser. That's what it means. And he just keeps feeding you lies, going, that's not really who you are. You're really that little pawn. Paralyzed in your soul. Can't move anywhere. And Jesus is going, that's not the truth. Because, buddy, the truth will set you free. You're not a pawn paralyzed in your soul. You're a kid of the King, free to move in my power. He says, forget that and remember this. This is who you are now. This is what I see when I look at you. You're not a paralyzed pawn in your soul. You are a kid of the King. You're not the King, but you're a kid of the King. It's like that great theologian Mufasa said, remember who you are. Who was he saying that to? Simba. Who was Simba? He was a kid of who? The King. And when you read God's word, what God is saying to you is, remember who you are. This is who you are when you live in my shadow. And you know what that is, friends? That is a game changer. I love what John MacArthur says. He says, forgiveness of sin is God's greatest gift because it meets a person's greatest need. Isn't that good? Oh, man. And you go, well, what exactly is sin? Sin is anything you do, say, or think that God says we shouldn't do, say, or think. Not what a Twitter poll decides we should do, say, or think. Or what the majority of our Facebook friends decide is okay or not. It's what God's word says is sin. You go, well, how do you know? Because he said it. That's why when we read God's word, we say, this is the word of the Lord. And we respond back, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that we don't bow to a Twitter poll. God's game-changing message for all humanity is that no one has to be paralyzed in their soul and perish in their sin, but instead can have eternal life in one name and one name only, the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the name that is above all name, the name among which everyone has the opportunity to be saved. MacArthur goes on to say, the most distinctive message of Christianity is the reality that sin can be forgiven. And what does forgiven mean? Forgotten. And you now can live in truth. That is the heart, that is the lifeblood of the gospel, that people can be freed from sin and its consequences. The supreme, overarching good news is that sinful people like me and sinful people like you can be fully clean, brought into eternal fellowship with holy God. That is the message of Matthew 9, 1 through 8. That is a game changer, friends. And the two biggest hurdles to receiving that kind of game-changing message of forgiveness and healing from the inside out that Jesus offers, the two biggest hurdles have always been, number one, a refusal to recognize our need for the gospel. And number two, the belief that we can just earn it or that we deserve it. Those are the two biggest hurdles right there. And in God's word, that refusal to recognize our need for it, I'm really not that bad. Oh, the Apostle Paul writes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. No. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this belief that we can earn it or deserve it, we're not like Simba, where we just assume the throne. No, the King always will reign. His name is Jesus. And this belief that it can be earned or deserved is in direct opposition to what Paul writes in a place like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. It's not through your works. Because if you could do it by just a little bit more religious determination, then you could get some of the glory for being good enough. And God goes, you get a zero. It's all me giving it to you. And see, these religious scribes and these Pharisees believed, man, if you just do enough the right way, if you just do the religious dance well enough, you'll get the hug of God. That's why they're saying what they're saying here in verse 3. Mark's gospel says that they said, no one can forgive sins but God alone. And you know what? They were right. That's true. And what Jesus is demonstrating, what Jesus later says is, guys, I'm God. So I can forgive sins. In fact, here's a game changer for all you Jews. You don't have to make your way to the temple in Jerusalem anymore to have a sacrifice made for your sins so that you can feel better about yourself and your relationship with God. I'm the new temple. Just come to me. And that's a game changer, friends. That is a game changer. And that's the message that Jesus was saying. He would go on to say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And I'm going to give some of it to you that you might go and tell everybody else that they don't have to be a paralyzed pawn in their little square of life anymore. They can all have the shadow of the King fall on their life and receive from the riches of His grace what you could never be good enough or earn enough to be free. You can't buy your freedom. You just have to receive what Jesus did on the cross when He bought it for you. And that's a game changer. So don't miss here. Don't miss here. Don't miss here what I think is the application point. Because if all we do is just agree with this and go, oh, that's kind of neat. Well, what does that mean for me walking into my class this week or walking back to work or my crazy neighbor who's just driving me crazy? God goes, I put you there for a reason, and it's to be a game changer communicator. And here's where it is right here. Look at here in verses 5-7. Don't miss this. This is for you. This is for me. It was for this guy. Jesus says, for which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? Underline rise. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. He then said to the paralytic, what? Rise. Underline rise. Pick up your bed and go home. And he what? He rose. Underline he rose. And he went home. Rise, rise. He rose. That sounds like what holiday? Easter. That sounds like Easter. That's resurrection language. That's game changer. When somebody gets killed and then comes back to life 3 days later, that's a game changer. And he's just foreshadowing what he's coming to do. And before he gets there, he's calling people to rise and walk, rise and walk, rise and walk. It's game changer language. And not too far into the story, Jesus would pay the ultimate price on the cross for our sin. He then was laid in a tomb after he died. And 3 days later, he what? He rose. And he did what? He walked forward like the King that he is. He didn't come out like a paralyzed pawn, limping around, not being able to move off of his little tomb square. No, he came out of the tomb and he started walking, moving forward, because he is risen. He is risen indeed. He is the game changer. Rise, rise. He rose. Men and women, when sin gets dealt with, resurrection at whatever level can't be far behind. And that's the game-changing truth that you and I need to take hold of today. We need to hear that fresh today. We need to receive that into our heart and mind and soul and life. And you know what we need to do? We need to rise and walk.
because it is who you are. It's who you were meant to be. But you can't earn it and you can't buy it. You receive it and live accordingly to it.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.